video will present irrefutable and scientific proof that will establish beyond any reasonable doubt that Michelle Obama is in fact a man who prefers to present himself and who prefers to dress up as a woman. This video will prove that the person commonly referred to as the First Lady of the United States may be the First Queen at best, but he most certainly is not a lady. Let's find out why. This video will examine the following. It will examine Michelle's male hands, male shoulders, male torso, male genitalia, and overall male proportions. It will also look at how a carefully designed wardrobe, a wide hairdo, a persistent facially distorting smile, and carefully selected press photos have all succeeded in suppressing the revelation of Michelle's undeniable male physical form. While this information is controversial and shocking, to say the least, it is being shared because it is the truth. It is being presented so that people can stop living the lie that is being dished out by the U.S. government and the mainstream media. Many people are unfamiliar with the more subtle physical differences that can be found between men and women. While Michelle Obama works very hard to distort the more obvious differences, he fails miserably at hiding them all. Let's take a close look at some of the male traits that he has failed to conceal. We will begin by looking at the hands. The scientific community has known for a long time that a man's ring finger is typically longer than the man's index finger. Here are two clear pictures that illustrate the differences in ring finger proportions on male and female hands. Notice how the man's ring finger is visibly longer than his index finger. While it is not uncommon for a woman to have the ring finger and index finger at very similar lengths, it is almost unheard of for a woman to have a visibly longer ring finger. See for yourself by looking at both of your hands. Relax your hands. Put them flat on a table. Pull the fingers together and notice the length of your ring finger. Now compare it to the length of your index finger. Your hands will now testify against Michelle Obama every time you look at them. If we look at this x-ray of a man's hands, we can see how the bone structure of the ring finger is visibly longer than that of the index finger. If we look at an x-ray of a woman's hand, we can easily see that the tip of the ring finger appears to be slightly shorter than the index finger. In this photo of Barack and Michelle's right hands, even at a distance, Michelle's ring finger is noticeably longer than the index finger. In fact, the ring finger is so long that when we compare it with the one on the man next to him, it is easy to see that the male trait of prominent ring finger length is even more pronounced in Michelle. Here we see a person holding up their hand. By the ring finger length, it is safe to conclude that he is a man. Here we see someone whose ring finger length clearly shows that she was born a female. But in this photo, wait a minute, Houston, we have a problem. The ring finger is noticeably longer than the index finger, proving that Serena Williams, the famous tennis player, was in fact born a male. Both the shoulders and flamboyant behavior are quite telling as well. Here is a good photo of Michelle's hands. The ring fingers are both visibly longer than the index fingers. Once again, we have a clear view of the hands. It is undeniable. Those are the hands that emerged from the womb on a male child. Now that we have established that Michelle has the hands of a man, let's look at Michelle's shoulders. The shoulders are surrounded by bulging muscles that appear to be very masculine. Notice how the carefully tailored clothing hides the neck muscles. Let's find out why. Both the neck muscles and the bulging shoulders look like they belong on a man. In this photo, the hair and the clothing both serve to camouflage the neck muscles. Michelle's face may appear quite feminine to the undiscerning eye, but after taking a closer look, isn't it amazing what the very best makeup artists and hairstylists can do to any person who has enough money? And to help add to the illusion, Michelle often slouches forward. This is done to make the shoulders appear smaller, but the masculine shoulders remain. Wild hair and dangling earrings can pull the eye away from the shoulders, but once you have spotted them, they just don't seem to go away. To make matters worse, men have more prominent brow features than women. As you can see, Michelle's eyebrows are generally painted on in such a way that they wrap around the male skull bone that protrudes out at the eyebrows. Close-up images of the eyebrows reveal a tremendous effort at wrapping the paint all the way around this very prominent male facial feature. Once again, the painted eyebrows do not match the size of the brow bone. Now, what most people do not know about human anatomy is that the body is naturally proportioned based on the ratio between overall body height and the size of a person's head. In this illustration, you can see how perfectly proportioned a typical human body of each gender is. This illustration also reveals a description of how the shoulders are measured. On a woman's body, the shoulder width is typically equivalent of 2.5 times the width of her head. Here we have an example of a healthy woman. As you can clearly see, her shoulders are about 2.5 times the width of her head. A man's shoulders are typically the equivalent of 3 times the width of his head. In this illustration, it is easy to see that this person is in fact a man based on the width of his shoulders in relation to the width of his head. And here we have an image of an extremely athletic man whose gender is confirmed by the width of his shoulders in relation to the width of his head. Now, if we take an objective look at Michelle, we see that the shoulder width is not compatible with the shoulders of a woman in relation to the size of the head. The dress, the pearls, the fancy hairdo, and makeup can redirect the observer's attention away from the proportions, but all the illusions cannot make the physical reality that Michelle is a man go away. Now let's take a closer look at Michelle's body proportions. Notice in this illustration that the height of a typical healthy man is roughly 8 times the height of his head. The height of a typical healthy woman is roughly 7 times the height of her head. This illustration reveals that Michelle stands at 8 heads tall. At this point in human history, there is no amount of surgery that can change his body proportions. His overall height is exactly 8 times the height of his head, proving that Michelle cannot possibly be a woman. The jacket was carefully chosen to diminish the manly appearance of the shoulders. Notice how there is a wide gap at the waist to create an optical illusion that the hips are wider than the shoulders. Michelle is also wearing flat shoes. He does not tend to wear high heels because if he did, while standing at 5 feet 11 inches tall, he would tower over almost all of the women as well as most of the men who are standing nearby. Here we can see Michelle standing next to a woman. Notice how the woman's shoulders on the far left are no match for Michelle's man shoulders. There are many tricks of the eye going on in those dresses. Someone has added a few pounds of necklaces to downplay the bulging shoulder muscles. It is easy to see how Michelle arches his shoulders forward to help with the illusion just a little bit more. This illustration reveals how the hip and shoulder proportions are naturally different between men and women. While men's hips are smaller than their shoulders, a woman's proportions tend to be the opposite. I am not able to show you an image of Michelle at the beach. However, when Serena Williams appears on a beach walking next to an actual woman, it is quite easy to see the physical differences between the body structure of a man and a woman. Even when a man has breasts that are formed by hormone replacement therapy, the hip bones remain much narrower than the shoulders. It is interesting to note that Serena's thin upper body and heavier lower torso are almost identical to Michelle's. So how then is it possible for Michelle to pose next to a man and appear to have female body proportions? Simply by turning the shoulders away from the camera, the shoulders appear to be narrower. Notice the difference when the shoulders are square to the camera. In this photo, we can see Michelle turning the shoulders away from the camera, and then simply by bending the wrist while relaxing the biceps, the upper arms appear to be more feminine. But look at what happens when the shoulders are square to the camera and the man arms are plain to see. The wild hair and stacked up jewelry can only do so much to distract you from the uncomfortable truth. The biceps are fully flexed because they are now carefully concealed under a custom-tailored jacket with exaggerated shoulder pads that make the arms appear smaller. It is quite an effective illusion. But when Michelle is put next to a real woman, the male features simply jump out of the photo. In order to trick the eye into perceiving the illusion of wider hips, Michelle typically wears dresses that are tight above the upper waist, but then flare out at the hips. In this image, we can see why Michelle will most likely avoid a simple V-neck in the future. A square front view reveals the broad shoulders and the neck muscles, but the super wide hairstyle creates the illusion of smaller shoulders, and the stacked up jewelry steers the eye away from those massive neck muscles. But in this image, there is a convincing first impression that these two people are both women. And so, how do they present the illusion that they are both female? It is really quite simple. The woman wears a loose shirt and tight pants, while Michelle wears a tight shirt and loose pants. Add a few feminine externals, and there you have your illusion. In this image, it is quite easy to see just how large Michelle's shoulders and neck muscles are, especially when compared with the ones Barack has hidden under his suit jacket with the padded and extended shoulders. The bulging muscles under the big hair were perhaps the inspiration for this image that has been circulating on the web. So apparently, I'm not the only person who knows that Michelle is a man, and a very strong man at that, I might add. You will not find many pictures like this one because when Michelle frowns, the fact that he is a man frowning becomes very plain to see. And when Michelle drops the charade, the feminine false externals drop like a lead balloon. My, what a very feminine and slender neck you have. I wish I had one like that. The manly features often stand out like a sore thumb when the guard is let down and the photo is unexpected. Let's not forget the Adam's apple. What most people don't know is that the appearance of the Adam's apple can be diminished through surgery, but it cannot be fully removed. In this image, you can clearly see Michelle's Adam's apple. Once again, Michelle's Adam's apple is not too difficult to spot. The Adam's apple stands out in this earlier photo as well. Notice the bulging neck muscles and heavy man brows, even on the wedding day. Speaking of the wedding day, you must be wondering what happened to Michelle's male genitalia. There are certain undergarments that some people wear in order to hide their male genitalia. It is similar to a sports cup that men wear while playing contact sports. In this photo, you can see a surprising bulge that appears to be Michelle's special cup. This wardrobe malfunction was revealed by the wind that was blowing against him, revealing the contour of his form. But that's not the only wardrobe malfunction. In this picture, the lighting cast the most unfeminine shadows on Michelle's manhood. This photo begs the question, how could the audience not notice? In this earlier wedding photo, Michelle's body proportions are a close match to Barack's. Years of hormone replacement therapy may provide a touch of extra fat in certain areas, or a more feminine-looking skin tone, or change the voice a bit. But there is no amount of hormones or feminine gestures that will change the skeletal proportions of a man. Michelle's body structure cannot possibly be that of a woman. Even Barack's heavily padded shoulders and the silhouette of a feminine mirror cannot hide the fact that Michelle's shoulders are those of a man. Poofy dresses and big hair help to maintain the illusion of being a woman. But there are some things that simply cannot be hidden, like that protruding man finger. However, in this image, Michelle's man finger isn't the only issue. The biceps and triceps are disproportionately large, and while the dress pulls the eye downwards, it still can't shrink those shoulders. Even the children who accompany Barack and Michelle play a part in the illusion, because who would have suspected that the two girls might have been adopted? Perhaps someone should tell them that similar facial expressions cannot change the genetic evidence, but it sure is nice to see some truly feminine shoulders on the daughters. Have you figured it out yet? Are you ready for your reality check? Brace yourself. Here it is. The United States of America does not have a first lady, but rather, the United States of America has its very first queen, its first drag queen, that is. Michelle has the hands of a man. Michelle has the shoulders of a man. Michelle has the physical proportions of a man. Michelle has a male anatomy. Hormone replacement therapy and surgical treatments cannot change the fact that every cell in Michelle's body is stamped and sealed with male chromosomes. As a woman, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind as I proclaim it from the rooftops that Michelle Obama is most certainly not a lady. I am a real woman. I have gone through school and earned a degree in criminal justice. I have learned a lot about people and why they do the things they do. While studying for my degree, I took many classes on forensic psychology. I also studied the basics of forensics and investigative skills. Throughout my travels, I have had many encounters with transgenders and transsexuals. And so, with all this background knowledge and experience, it is with great confidence that I now proclaim, Michelle Obama has deceived the nations. I have absolutely no doubt that Michelle Obama is in fact a man. And now, a word from my husband.
As my wife and I were working on this video, we thought about all the American soldiers who are risking their lives overseas to fight illegal wars based on the whims of their commander and chief. How is it that so many people in the military are prepared to go to their death so that the president can feel safe and secure in his White House? As he cuddles up every night to his male friend, who prefers to dress up as a woman and deceive everyone from behind that big smile. Many people in previous generations have laid down their lives for a noble cause. But frankly, we are quite baffled at this current point in American history and at what has become of what once was a great nation. I am speaking as one who not only has a military background, but I am also a retired law enforcement officer. The first 7.5 years of my career were spent as a police officer in Trinidad, Colorado, a place that was well known as the sex change capital of the world. While I was on patrol there, it was not uncommon to encounter people who had traveled there to seek gender reassignment surgery. I can clearly see that Michelle is a man, and I hope that you can now tell the difference as well. Time will tell how the truths that have been revealed in this video will transform America. But one thing is for certain, like it or not, Michelle Obama is now out of the closet. The production of this video would have been impossible without the help of the two witnesses. If you enjoyed this video and are not afraid of learning more shocking truths about the current realities in which we are now all living, visit testimonyofthetwowitnesses.com, but you had better fasten your seatbelt, because hearing the truth is not always comfortable.
You, referring to a man, shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination.
A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God.
You wanted an abomination? You got it. But now a double woe has come to America. Behold your queen, the queen of Sodom.
Behold your queen, the queen of Sodom.
The queen of Sodom.
Oh, can you see?
It's October 28, 2012 in Switzerland, and it's been snowing the whole day. This is what it looks like. There. We had to put the clock last night 1 hour back. It's winter time. Well, it certainly is winter time. See? Well, I can't go out because of the murder threats by the Swiss police and the Justice Department. So I'll just stay in the balcony, get some fresh air. So then we went inside and burned the coffee. And with the coffee, we ate a cake. Usually my wife makes the cakes herself because we don't have so much money to buy it all. I think she got it from someone. So the cake wasn't here. That year, the round thing was in here. And when I lifted it like this, and I took away the white circle here, I suddenly saw something. So at first I thought, well, it looks like a sort of a Star Wars design for kids, you know. And then I saw it. You see the octagon? And inside is the hexagon. So, and around it is a quadrangle. And the quadrangle is the base of the pyramid. I mean, that's we. Underneath, look at the dollar. On top, it's them. The base, it's we. So that's the quadrangle. Then we got the octagon. That's the middle circle. And the middle circle protects the inner circle from us, the base, the hexagon. So the hexagon is the inner circle. That's the Freemasons, the politicians, their political wing. And then there is the octagon, which is the military wing, the Nazi Templars with their base octagon Switzerland. So this is amazing. Even under a cake, they put all these things, you know. Even there, it's amazing. I've never seen this, but it's here. So you see the quadrangle. Then the middle circle is the octagon to protect hexagon from us, and hexagon is the inner circle, the politicians. Well, I mean, look around how they are. They got all this protection because from octagon, you know. Remember the octagon shape on a police badge and a police hat, you know. Octagon is between hexagon and the quadrangle, between them. So these guys, you know, they even put it at the bottom of a cake. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely hilarious. It is. Oh man, there it is. So there's the hexagon in the middle. See, there it is. That's the inner circle, the six. So the inner circle is the six, which is protected by the eight, and we, well, I suppose we are four. Yeah, end of. We're just the people, yeah. So in fact, this proves again what I told you before, is that hexagon orders octagon. So the political wing orders the military wing. The police, the army. Yeah, and we are just a quadrangle. And the cat's just thinking, what are you talking about? Let me sleep. This is the cat, by the way. His hind leg, one of them was chopped off. Well, he's still there. Happy to be inside. There it is. On June 22nd, 2013, a Saxon from Germany came visit me and offered me a 5 Reichsmark Nazi silver coin from his grandfather from 1934, with swastikas on it and all, as a present to me. So here on the side we can see those typical Nazi letters, and it says Gemeinnutz geht vor Eigennutz. That means service goes for self, goes before self. With those arabesques here, it looks like serpents to me. as funny thing in the middle. I think it's a star. And so I'll show it again. So these were those typical Nazi mottos, you know, like Arbeit macht frei, meaning work makes you free, you know, which is a nice motto for the slaves constructing the pyramids, or the ones in Auschwitz, Birkenau, you know, having to work like pharaonic slaves and then die. These are slogans real typical for the Nazis and the pharaohs. Hitler and the Nazis first used his motto on February 24, 1920 in a National Socialist rally in Munich. On one side it shows some swastikas of pharaonic origin. And it says Deutsches Reich, meaning the German Empire. And it shows the Roman pharaonic eagle of Ma'at. And it says 1934. Five Reichsmark. Five marks of the German Empire. Reich, it means empire. And if I turn it around, it shows at the place where the tail is of Ma'at, it shows the fleur de lis, which is a symbol of the aristocracy, and it represents the pharaonic lotus on the River Nile. It does. And on the flip side, it shows an obelisk like church. Yeah, where it says 21st of March, there's the triangle of the Freemasons, you see, it shows an obelisk-like church called Die Garnisonskirche, or Church of the Garnison, which is a very funny name for a church, insinuating the church as a garrison or an army and Christianity as a war against humanity. And if you consider the Horus Matrix and reason for all these wars, it does fit. Connected to this church of wars, it says March 21st, 1933, with two swastikas around it, around 1933, as to honor the year of the beast with pharaonic symbols. March 21st is the date on which Hitler's rise to power was celebrated after he became the German Chancellor on January 30th, 1933. It's called the Day of Potsdam, the Tag von Potsdam. Just as it's called the Day of Potsdam commemoration coin. Yeah, Mr. Hitler is somewhere in here on the day of Potsdam, where the obelisk is shaking hands with Mr. von Hindenburg. And on the left side there's the Nikolai Church, which is an evangelic church, with an obelisk. You see, that was very important. So normally the inauguration of a German Chancellor should have taken place in the German Reichstag in Berlin. But as the pharaonic German aristocracy wanted it to take place in Potsdam, near Berlin, and the very heart of the Prussian monarchy with many obelisks around for a pharaonic ritual as in the old days along the River Nile, they deliberately burned down the Reichstag on the night of February 27th till the 28th to have a good reason for not having their man and reincarnated pharaoh inaugurated under the powers of the German people as the very symbol of the German democracy. And for the Reichstag fire arson, they had their Patsy ready. Here he is, Mr. van der Lubbe. And just as Lee Harvey, the Patsy, or these 19 Muslims at 9/11, well, they always have it ready. And of course, Octagon of the Templars, they are aristocratic, just as the main drive behind the Nazis, and they were the main drive, as here in Potsdam, and the reason for the Reichstag's fire is the aristocracy. And they are pharaonic, and they went into hiding in Freemason lodges. They're the ones, all right. And Switzerland Octagon is their biggest base. But under the pharaonic magic of the imperial aristocracy, at their main church next to the castle of Sanssouci, or the No Worries Castle, as the French word indicates, where not even the name is German, and neither the idea of two world wars and the extermination of the Jews was in fact a German idea. It was aristocratic, pharaonic. So this obelisk here is standing at the very entrance of the Sanssouci Castle, which is all next to each other. The where Hitler was inaugurated and where he shook the hands with the former Hindenburg Chancellor. It was a pharaonic ritual. It really was, and I show you some more things. So here we can see the Garnison's Church on my coin here, with the entrance here with some Nazi eagles on it, and it's full of hieroglyphs here. It's really ancient. So there are at least four obelisks, and probably many more, around this place where Hitler was inaugurated by the aristocracy. And I'm going to show you what's inside this church. And it's real horrible. The aristocracy got their fingerprints all over the Nazi movement and the Second World War. And I know why. So here's the Sanssouci, or No Worries Castle, where you can see you won't have any worries here, of Frederick the Great. And he is in fact buried in this church, which is on the silver Nazi coin. And this is the real reason why the Garnison's Church is on this coin. And this castle, it's all very near, in a few minutes walk, just next to this Garnison's Church, the place where all the obelisks are, where Hitler was inaugurated in Potsdam, which is not in Berlin, and is not the Reichstag where he should have been inaugurated. Why, here's the real reason, the aristocracy. And look at all the obelisks, all the trees look like obelisks. Here it's really too much. It's full with pharaonic stuff here, inside and outside. I just show you a couple of things, but this is pharaonic. And this is the drive behind the Nazis and the Second World War. That's the ones who did it. So here inside the castle, it's amazing. Look at it. We can see two times the sun hieroglyph. Here it is, or many more times probably. There it is, and here. And of course, their base is Octagon, as I told you before. Switzerland, that's their base, where all the money is, where it's a safe place, and all the caves and the mountains. That's their base. But this is part of it. This is part of it. And the place where Potsdam is, it's full of lakes. A lot of water, like in the old times at the River Nile. So, well, that's why they burned down the Reichstag. And on that very day, when Hitler shook hands with von Hindenburg, another aristocrat of pharaonic descent, the Heimtücke Gesetz, or the German Patriot Act, was put in power on the day before, on March 20th, 1933, the opening of the first concentration camp, Dachau, near Munich. So this coin celebrates the true beginning of the aristocratic Nazi dictatorship of the pharaohs from Oktogon. Just as the National Socialist Movement was a workers' union from the people, of which all the real German leaders were murdered by Hitler and his aristocrats during the Night of the Long Knives in 1934. After that, it was all led by guys with a von in front of their names, all aristocrats. Why March 21st? Because that was the very same date of the first German Reichstag of the German aristocratic empire on March 21st, 1871. This Nazi war church, which is called the Garnison's Church, is the church of the pharaonic aristocracy. They had been visited by all the royals throughout history as Tsar Alexander I, Napoleon Bonaparte, whom you can see here, visiting the grave of Frederick the Great. And Emperor Frederick the Great has even been buried in the church. Just look at the Freemason checkerboard configuration. And Frederick the Great, or Friedrich der Große, Friedrich der Zweite, Friedrich the Second, he was a Mason indeed. He spoke only French. I don't know if he could even speak German. And the Germans called him Fritz the Faggot for his homo activities with Mr. Fredersdorf, for example, and with many others. And here he was buried after the war, because the war church, the Garnison's church, was destroyed after the Second World War. So they put his remains after the war in this lovely castle here. It's called the Hohenzollern Castle. The Emperor Frederick the Great lived from 1712 until 1786. And he died at the No Worries Castle, Sans Souci, just next door. Well, look at the marvelous octagon sign he's having on his breast. I'd say it's a London copper. Look at the badge. Here he is. This is Octagon Police. It's them, all right. They are the knights for the aristocracy. It has a very funny sign inside. I can't really see what it is. The emperor was raised by a Swiss from Oktogon called Nicolas de Beguelin. Faggot Fritz and the Swissy from Oktogon. I told you so, the Swiss always have their fingers in it, somehow. And sometimes even something more than just a finger. Fritz the Faggot ruled from 1740 until 1786, almost 50 years of endless Prussian wars. So here we can read what kind of a violent, aggressive and sick person he was. Oh, Fritz the Faggot also was an active anti-Semite, as the entire pharaonic aristocracy is. Therefore, Rudolf Hess, the second Nazi of this aristocratic Nazi dictatorship, gave Hitler a large pile of anti-Semitic correspondence by Fritz the Faggot, being one of the reasons, together with that other one, for Hitler having just one picture at the wall of the Führer bunker. Yes, Fritz the Faggot was on the wall. Hitler was a very big admirer of Frederick the Great. Well, let's call him Frederick the Great, for, you know. Why, here's the painting of Frederick the Great, or Fritz the Faggot, whatever, that Mr. Hitler had in the Führerbunker. In every one of his offices, he had the painting of Frederick the Great. Well, two mass murderers. There are indeed a lot of rumours indicating that Hitler himself was a queer. Homo Hitler and faggot Fritz. What a lovely couple from hell. And this unholy practice is indeed widespread within the aristocracy and the pharaohs, the ancestors. But Hitler was in fact a highly pharaonic initiate into the practices of sexual sublimination and its transformation of its earthbound energies into spiritual abilities, and in this very case on the altar of evil. And here, also in Berlin, is the grave of the successor of Frederick the Great. His name is Frederick William II. He was also a Freemason pharaoh. These were the friends of Mr. Hitler. He was one of them. Well, let's pretend he was Frederick the Great, who was a grandson of George I of the British Empire, just as every US president is related to just one English king, apparently, except President Van Buren. Oh yes, the pharaonic aristocracy rules all right. Octagon is their base, and the worldwide Octagon Blue Army, their knights. Just as Frederick the Great has the Octagon sign on his breast, as I showed you before. So these American people found out that all the US presidents, they are related to just one king who lived in the 12th century. We are ruled by Octagon and the aristocracy, who are pharaonic and who are hiding in Freemasonry lodges under the democracy banner.